out of the way and spend the rest of the time. Obviously, everybody, if you've got some paper, take it out. Hopefully, you got your journal so you can actually read it, you know, a couple of years from now and use it. If you don't, borrow some paper from somebody because, you know, this is some information. I've had a chance driving around with Mr. Hammondtree going four-wheeling, and, you know, I couldn't get enough down. And when he got out of the car, there were some things that I would write down of things that we talked about. And so I harassed him enough. Now you guys get to hear a little bit about how he hit the $100,000 mark just at his 11th month in the business. Now 3 years in the business has already eclipsed the $200,000 income mark, being recognized as a Platinum 2 Executive Director. Guys, again, get on your feet and welcome up Mr. Scott Hammondtree.
Y'all are killing me. You're killing me. I'm a visual. Gabby's wearing me out. So, you know, and then I'm sitting there thinking I'm going to get some great notes from Russ, and all I got out of it was donkey, you know. So, of course, it adds a whole new version to what we call our Cajuns down south. I can fix that now. So, you know. Can I do that? Coon donkeys? That works. I like that. So, I like that. Y'all, listen, again, thank y'all so much for letting me come out here. Really and truly, I'm not making apologies for me, but y'all are going to, what y'all are fixing to get is what you know, all right? I mean, that's the bottom line. Maybe we can bring it in a little bit different form, different fashion, but I love this business because I can do this. You know, I can do this, which means you can do this. It's phenomenal. We're fixing to have some fun here again, I hope, and I know we will. I'm just honored to be here. It's been great. We have, again, I've been treated like royalty, you know. Told my wife, I ain't coming home. I do better. It's better here, you know. So I have reserved a hunting trip, so hopefully I get to come do that. I don't even know where to start. I'm gonna start again with my story. I'm not gonna tell it all over again. I mean, y'all probably sick of that, right? So, but we'll expound on it just a little bit because it's important. You know, you can just tell so much story when you're doing a briefing, but the story is it. You know, and the story doesn't exist without the system, without prepaid legal. I'm a system-driven person. The reason I want to tell the story and elaborate on it a little bit more is because group is huge. Okay, I mean, we do group. We're major in the group. We produce a lot of money with group. And if it wasn't for group, honestly, you know, I wouldn't have got to get out of construction as quickly as I did. All right, but if it wasn't for the networking end of prepaid legal, I may as well be in construction. I mean, in other words, my thoughts of it are, you know, I'm always going to be out there marketing memberships, doing groups. Probably never going to quit that. But I do want to get to the point where we don't have to do that either, okay? And networking, you know, the system, following the networking system will allow you to do that. It's phenomenal, okay? I think both should be done. I want to touch on group just a little bit, and then we're going to get off of it. But I do. I think everybody should go to group school, obviously. You know, it's a huge part. George said that. We got to go, you know, because it's going to give you more of the business, okay? You're going to understand the business more thoroughly. Jeff Olson talks about it on his Power Training DVD. You know, he doesn't leave. I mean, he's a networking guru, right? But he doesn't leave that out. It gives you more of the business and allows you to understand more of what you can tap into and who you can tap into those areas. But it's not for everybody. You know, we know that. But some of us can do it. Some of us do both. Some of us think we can do it, and I may surprise myself sometimes, you know. So I don't want to spend any time on that, but I've had people, you know, confuse the two. Well, we do both, okay? Group is what got us started in this business. It's where my wife was introduced to putting some money out there, okay? That's what fed us, okay? But here's the way the story goes, all right? And I want to work on that just for a minute, and then we'll go into some training. But it's part of the training. I come along. And my wife's making some money, and she's doing purely group. Now, She got promoted to, I don't even know. I'm going to tell you how ignorant I am still today. I don't know whether it was manager. I don't know whether it was director that she got promoted to by getting a couple of family members and a couple of friends in the business. Because I do know they had some little quick promo thing going on, you know, the month we got it started. So that was great. You know, the person that brought her into the business was a group person. Just said, let's run out and talk to your husband. He's a contractor. He's got some contacts, you know, and let's meet those contacts. And great. I said, anything it takes. I gave my wife a list of decision makers, and she went out and got in touch with them. But she quickly got promoted first by recruiting a couple of family members. And I don't know if it was a manager or director, but there she goes. Now, she gave herself a raise. That's the important part. You know, that's part of the core. You know, we need to get these new associates. We need to get them paid and promoted. Any brand new associates in the room right now? Okay, brand new. Brand new, brand new. Anybody from today in the room? Brand new as in ink's not dry yet? All right. So, you know, and I the reason I ask that is because we're going to say some stuff that many of these people in here can say it better than I can say it. And then we're going to say some stuff that you're clueless about, okay? So just hang in there, all right? And everybody hang in there, because we don't want to confuse group. But what happened is my wife started making a few paychecks real quick. And I came along, I think I shared Thursday night, I didn't touch on it today. She quickly won the trip to Huntington Beach, California. We've never not missed a trip since we've been in this business. That's another thing phenomenal about this company. You know, it just allows you to do that. We were too new to be going, in my opinion, because that's what I thought. But not with this company. You're never too new. You can go anytime. So we jumped in. We went to Huntington Beach, California. I'm sitting there with all these prepaid legal people in Huntington Beach, California. Very important part of my story, because I wasn't a believer yet. I just knew that this was another way to make an income, okay? And we're going to talk about that in a second, too. But my wife, when I look, we were facing bankruptcy. I told you all that. So we're going to Huntington Beach, California with no money in the bank, okay? I had a little bit of credit left on my Discover card. My wife says, my wife is a beachaholic. Where's Gary? She's a beachaholic. We're at Destin. We've already got a place reserved, you know, in Destin, Florida, you know, for the month of November. We go. She's a fish. So we're going to Huntington Beach, California. She says, can we get a room with a beachfront view? I said, well, I'll try. You know, I'm standing in line with all these people, and I get up and say, hey, I want a room looking over the beach. And they said, well, that's an upgrade. I said, okay, what's the upgrade? He said, $50. I said, all right, I'll pay 50. I'm sitting there going, hey, 50 bucks, 5 days, $250. My Discover card can handle that. My wife's worth it. Okay, we'll do that. All right. Right. So, okay, we got a beachfront room, right? We're going through a couple of days. We're enjoying it. I'm meeting these people. And we're not even in our room, okay? We're having a great time with prepaid legal. So I told my wife, I said, look, you know, things are tight. Can we save that 50 bucks and I just go get us a regular room? And she said, yeah, you know, that's cool. I understand. So I go to the concierge and I said, look, I want to change rooms. How come? Well, I want to save the 50 bucks. He said, well, how about we let you stay in that room and not pay the 50 bucks? I said, well, that's a deal. How can you do that? He said, because there are no rooms. Prepaid legal's got the whole place, you know. I'm not going, you're kidding me. He says, no. And I'm going, well, what kind of company am I involved in? You know, the Hyatt Resort Beach and Spa, and there's not a room left. You know, I'm going, all these people are prepaid legal people. So all of a sudden I understood a little bit more of what I was involved with, okay? Save 250 bucks too. Sometimes you got to step up, right? So here's the deal. I come back and I tell my wife, I said, all right, you know, I need to know more about what's going on. This is obviously a real thing. Well, that very next month, Darnell's self was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She says, you got to go hear Darnell. Now, I had seen Darnell. You know, I don't remember whether I actually talked to him or not. Since then, we're like best friends, okay? Right. Anyway. Hey, we know each other, okay? So, anyway. But I go to hear Darnell self. Now, I'm going to tell you what. When things, money's tight and things are going on, you know, things don't always work the way you want them to. It's almost an hour drive to Baton Rouge. We get there, you know, and things were still tight money-wise. Just because we're making a check doesn't mean anything, right? You know, things are still tight. We get to Baton Rouge, and I'm going, where are the tickets, my wife? And we're running late. I hate to be late. I hate to be late. I'm late all the time. That doesn't mean I like it. We're running late, so I'm already a little bit frustrated because I don't like walking in the middle of something, you know. Like, we'll make fun of the guy that shows up in a minute. So anyway, I'm standing there going, all right, that's cool. Well, where are the tickets? Oh, I left them at home. I said, you did what? You know, we paid for these things, right? Y'all know how it goes. I said, we left the tickets at home. She goes, yeah. And I said, oh, shoot. So now I got to go, well, who do we know? Well, I don't know anybody. Missy hadn't been in the business long enough, right? Our regional manager were the Gitcombs, Miss Judy Gitcombs. So we go up and we're trying to plead with Miss Gitcomb. We've already bought our tickets, so we didn't have to pay for the tickets. But that's a frustrating situation. I'm frustrated. I'm already ready to go home, okay? I don't even want to be there. I understood that I want to learn, but I don't want to be there. But anyway, we go in. And, you know, this is one of these places here. The guy that comes in late, nobody's going to know it because he comes from the back. Well, not there, okay? We have to walk in and kind of like walk right across the front of the stage and go up the aisle. Everybody's, Darnell's like going, excuse me, you know, go ahead. We'll wait on you, you know. So anyway, I was really being humiliated, but I get in there and I listen to this man and I'm like going, holy cow. Because I didn't know there was something more than group. Okay, I didn't know anything. No, the person that brought us into business didn't network, not even in the business anymore. Shame on her. We didn't understand. But here's what he taught me, and I'm going to use this board real quick. That's part of my story. Where's something I can write with? Because some of y'all may have seen this before, and if you have, great, bear with me. If you haven't, then check it out, because it changed my life. I mean, this thing, what Mr. Self showed me, and I've never forgotten it, I've used it in several different trainings, it literally changed my life. Maybe it won't change yours, but it changed mine. Okay? First of all, we had already used the membership. Who in here has not used this membership? Okay, shame on you. I'm just being real. You don't have your wills done? Okay, get your wills done. I'm not being ugly. I want you to understand that to go out and market something, you need to believe in it, okay? Or you're not going to do well in this business. I'm just being real, okay? That's what we're here for. We're here to learn, right? We need to use the membership. Use the services that you have. What's the new associate's name today? Tracy, have you used this yet? Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Monday. We got to get our wills done. That's the first thing right off the get-go, okay? That's number one. Number two, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody or anything like that. Who hadn't used the membership this month? Raise their hand. I mean, what's today, the 5th? Raise your hand if you hadn't used it this month. Shame on you, okay? Look, I use it every single month, at least once a month, okay? If for nothing else, just a call, all right? Just to call. Anybody got a fire extinguisher? When's the last time you checked the expiration date on it? Is it going to work for you when you need it? Here's the deal. If you don't put something to work, it isn't going to work, okay? And when you go try to share it with someone, if you don't know how it works, you don't know how to share it with anybody. And you're not going to do well, okay? But it doesn't cost anything to pick up the phone and ask the attorney about the dog that barks too loud next door that keeps you up at night. Can you shoot it or what? I don't know. But what? Find out what's bothering you if you can do anything about it. And if the answer is you can't do anything about it, then what it's done is it's given you peace of mind, right? So you don't have to deal with that stress factor anymore. So it's worth making a phone call. Put this membership to work as much as you possibly can so you can turn around and share with people how it works in your life, okay? And therefore, what you've actually done is you've developed a belief system in your life, okay? Because when you believe in something, ain't nobody going to take that away from you. Y'all agree with that? Okay? Everybody in this room, be it prepaid legal, Jesus Christ, I don't know what it is. You have a belief in something that nobody can shake no matter what. Would you agree? Okay. Then develop that with prepaid legal. That's what I'm telling you. If this is going to be the business that you're going to work, develop the belief system. And the way you do that is to put it to work for yourself. You got me? Okay, cool. Here's where we're going with this. Now, Mr. Self didn't tell me all that. Okay, I don't know what he told me to get me to this point of belief, but what I understood is when you believe in something, you're going to turn around and you're going to deliver it to somebody. And what you're going to deliver to that somebody is your belief, okay? So if I can take my belief and I can put it in the Lucas, okay, and I can transfer that same belief that can't be shaken into this man right here, then what's he got? He's got something he's never going to be able to let go of, right? So you're not going anywhere, are you? Okay, here's where we're going with this. I don't know whether it's better to be on this side or that side, but if you can't see this, you'll get to. Gabby, get up here. I can't get this low. We're going to be friends. Aren't we? Okay. This represents months. Okay. There's 12 months in a year. Now, this is important. I mean, it's just changed my life. Okay. First month in the business, your very first month in the business, what you want to do is you want to go out and you want to transfer that same belief that you have into one other person. Just one. Just one. Can y'all do that? There's somebody you can give that to. An unshakable belief that can't, you know, there's nothing anybody can do about it. So now what you got is you got you and one other person that believe the exact same way you do, can't be taken. So there's two of you, right? What's your job next month? You need to go out and share that same belief with one person. Not share the membership. Not share the opportunity. Share the belief to where they get it. Okay? And it can't be shaken with one other person. It's more important than that. This first person that you shared with, you teach them to go do the exact same thing. Okay? So now there's two of you that go out and incorporate that belief into somebody else. So now, the second month in the business, you got four of you that can't be shaken. Okay? You know where I'm going with this? All right, rather than keep explaining it, we're just going to keep duplicating it. Okay? And real quick, third month, there's eight people. I'll get out of my way in a minute. Fourth month, you got 16, 32 in the fifth month, 64 in the sixth month. Let's get over here. 128 in the seventh month. 256 in the 8th month, 502, 1,004, 2,000. Did I do that right? 12. I knew something was wrong. Anybody can do this business, I'm telling you. Anybody. Lucas, you don't need a high school diploma to do this. Okay? 5,012. I knew I messed something up. I mean, 512. Y'all bear with me, okay? I've done this 4,000 times and I still can't get it right. 1,024, 2,046, 2,048, 4,096. I'm trying to get to that sixth number. After 12 months, you got 4,096 people that are rock solid. Okay? Does that work? Can you have an organization with 4,000 people in it your first year in the business? Yeah, you can. You really, really can. Okay? And how many people did you share with out of those 4,000? 12. All you did was talk to 12 people. You took what you knew and you put it into 12 people in a belief system that can't be shaken. Now that blows my mind. That just blew my mind. You know, and it works every time except for when you can't add, like me. It works every single time. And I'm a numbers guy, so I don't know how I messed that up. But here's the thing. I sat back and just went, I'll be darned. Because I already believed in the membership. I just didn't know we could make any money at it. Okay, I really didn't. We were looking into it because I was desperate. But here's the thing. We were desperate. Our backs were against the wall. But there's 4,096 people. And all I did was share with 12. But I just didn't share. I took a belief and I transferred it into them. But I taught each person, each one of those 12, how to do the exact same thing. Okay? Now, do I have 4,000 people in my membership, in our organization? No, I don't. I'm just going to be real with you. We got 3,096. No, I'm just kidding. We do. We have about 1,400 people, okay? Because somewhere along the line, there's a breakdown in that belief system. It just happens, okay? But for the first 6 or 7 months, we were right on target. And it was blowing my mind, okay? We're going to get into that in a minute, too, because I dropped the ball along the lines. And we're going to talk about that. But if you don't drop the ball, I fully believe that this is, without question, you know, obtainable, okay? And when you got 4,000 people that are out there shaking and moving, look what's going to happen in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years after that. You know, it's a big deal. Who has the biggest networking system in the world right now? Christ. Jesus Christ. Came down out of the mountain, said, "You three, follow me." He's been doing it ever since, okay? Now think about it. I mean, you know, and you know, what your belief is not what's important. It's that he was a networker. And he transferred a phenomenal belief, and it's still going. It's a big system going on right now. This is a great thing to have, okay? And there's no way can you compare the two, but all he did was take his belief and put it into people, and it can't be shook, okay? We can do that with prepaid legal. I know it because nobody's taking it from me, all right? So I want to get into that. That's what Mr. Self taught me. We're on our way home. I'm still part of our story now, okay? We're driving home from Baton Rouge, and I'm just like my jaw's on the floor. I turned to my wife. I said, "Babe," because what she's doing group, I said, "You keep putting food on the table, I'm going to go out and build our future. Okay, this is it." And she looked at me and I said, "I'm going to go build our future. We're going to go out and we're going to build a team okay, that is going to create an income for us that can't be stopped. But more importantly, we're going to do the same thing for those people. We're going to allow them to create the same type of income, the same type of opportunity to share with other people, go on and on and on. Y'all understand that. But I didn't understand it until that day, and it just freaked me out. My wife looks at me and goes, I said, we will never miss another Tuesday night briefing. It's part of the system, but I didn't know that. I said, we'll never miss another Tuesday night briefing. So Mr. Darnell Self said, we have to go to all the briefings. We'll never miss a briefing. My wife says, that's our family night. We had never been to a briefing. It was 5 months. We went to one, and it was the one we signed up for. 5 months. Even my wife had never been to a briefing. Why? Because she worked group. Not that group's a bad thing, but again, it's a different animal, okay? Every group person should be at every briefing. That's my opinion. But what I'm trying to get at is, she said, that's our family night. And I said, yeah, I understand that. For 10 years or longer, we had never missed a Tuesday night of pizza and movies with our kids because that was our commitment to them. I said, we'll get pizza early, we'll start the movie early, and then we'll leave and go to the briefing, and then we'll come back and finish it with them, okay? But we're going, and we're not going to miss. And up until, you know, just recently, had never missed a Tuesday night briefing. And we have never missed. She represents me. Right now, I'm coaching my son's football. For the last 2 years, I did not coach because they practice on Tuesday nights. And I wanted to coach. And this year I said, I'm coaching. I'm not missing anymore. I said, you represent us. And so I'm missing Tuesday nights right now. But I'm making up for it by running briefings in other part of the state. So it's okay. But here's the thing. We just didn't miss. We didn't miss. I drove from Florida a few months later, took my wife to Destin, and had her there for her birthday in September. And it was about, early that afternoon or whatever, that morning. It's a 6-hour drive. I told my wife, I said, I'll see you later. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the briefing. She goes, that's like 5 hours away, 6 hours away. I said, I know, I'll be back. I said, I'm going to the briefing. I got a team there I need to support, and I'm going. And I drove back to Lafayette, went to the briefing, turned around, and got back to Destin about 3:00 in the morning or something like that. This is serious, y'all. It's a business. It's your business. What are you going to put into it? What are you going to do with it? Make a commitment and stick with it because it'll change your life, okay? And that's what happened to us. That was after we had already hit executive director. We're going to go into a little bit more of the story. Because there's a lot. There's a lot to our story, okay? Because there's just like everybody's story. There's a lot to the story, but this is all part of it. It was that same month that, that was the month I heard Darnell. The very next month, I got a phone call from corporate wanting me to be on the national call for one of the top recruiters in the company. And everybody out there's got a full-time job. Catch this. I didn't get it. I said, how can I be one of the top recruiters in the company? I only recruited 10 people. They said, right, you're number 5. Number 1 in Louisiana. Russ, congratulations. Number 5 in the nation. I'm going, I work 78 hours a week killing myself. What's everybody else doing out there? I don't get it. You know what I mean? I didn't understand that. Because why? Just like I just sat there sharing in the briefing. You just incorporate this into your day-to-day life. People make this too difficult, all right? I'm thinking there's full-time. I knew at the time I thought everybody was full-time prepaid legal. I mean, I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? But what I also didn't know is that people just don't take their business serious. They make it too difficult. Okay, what does Jeff Olson say? It's simple business to do. It's also a simple business not to do. Okay, you got to do it. You got to follow the system. You got to plug in. I understood I had to do 2 exposures a day, so that's what I did. I did 2 exposures a day. Okay. And when I say I gave them at gas stations, I mean, I would be in the bank teller line standing there. I got to where I'd call my wife up and say, what errands do we need to run today? Because I'm running them. Because I also tried, and I've had associates tell me, you know, I can't do exposures. I go out, man, and I just can't find anybody to talk to. And I say, what are you doing? They said, well, I'm going out to do exposures. I said, well, that's where you're screwing up, in my opinion. You don't go out to do exposures. You do exposures while you're out. Okay, there's a big difference. Because when I tried to go out and do exposures, I would sit right there and say, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. Or, ooh, no, they're not going to be interested. Or, ooh, that's not the right, I don't have anything in common with that guy. Or, you know, I got tickled with Russ yesterday, so I know he'll be all right with this. But that guy's got tattoos. I don't have a tattoo. I don't have anything in common with him either. You know, you can't do all that, all right? What you need to do is go out and do your day the way your day is done. And throughout your day, your antennas need to be up. Okay, and you need to be intentional about building your business. Okay, intentional is what it's all about. If you're not intentional, it ain't going to happen. Okay, so I used to go to the gas station. I mean, all of us. I want the empty place, right? And I'm not a people person. You know, I don't know what y'all's opinion is of me, but I'm not real into just standing there and talking to people I don't know, okay? So I would always find the gas pump with no car next to it. That's the way I lived my life. I'd go to the grocery store checkout line and say, where's the line with no people in it? I just want to get in. I want to get out. Now I go in. Where's the gas pump that's got a car sitting next to it? Where's the longest line to where I can get pinched in between two moms? You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. Because while I'm standing there, I'm going to comment on the 7 boxes of cereal in the grocery cart. You know, you got kids. You must stay at home, take care of your children. Yeah, do you earn any money from home? No, I don't, but I wish I could. Well, let me tell you, show you something, okay? You know, I mean, you got to find a way to plug into your business while you're taking care of your business, okay? I don't care what it is for everybody, but it's different. I was sharing with Russ just yesterday, and I don't remember who. Well, probably Dave Savola. Y'all have heard this before, probably. I don't know if that's where I learned it. But, you know, he says, how can I get somebody to listen to the DVD? Sometimes that's a problem, right? I have done this multiple times, and the first time was a little bit uncomfortable. But you're standing there at the gas pump talking to somebody, and they say, yeah, they'll listen to it. You know, and I'm standing there, doors usually open, and I'm talking to the guy, and they say, I'll see about it. And my very next thing would you know, I'd say, well, where are you fixing to head to right now? Well, I'm on my way to work. How far away is work? Oh, it'll take me about 15 minutes. I'll say, cool. I'll pop that little seal. I'll pull that DVD out, and I say, it's a two-sided disc. It's a CD on the other side. Lean inside the car and slip it into the CD player. Say, you'll be done listening to it by the time you get to work. I mean, most people aren't going to say, I ain't going to listen to that. Pop it out. They'll go, okay. I mean, you know, be bold enough to stick it in there. If they don't want it in there, okay. But they've already said they would take it, so why not? You know what I mean? I mean, it's okay. There are ways just to, it depends on how comfortable you are with the situation and the person that you're dealing with. But just incorporate this into your business. There's all kinds of ways. I love what Don Wilson says. Don Wilson taught me this, and I haven't done it very often. But, hey, you go to these restaurants. Who's been to a restaurant this week? Who's been to a restaurant where they've thrown their business card in the fishbowl to win the free lunch, okay? Or who's seen fish cards in the fishbowl? Don Wilson, he tells me, he says, he goes around and says, what do you do with those cards when you're through with them? And so we throw them away. Well, can I have them? Here's a brown bag with my name and phone number on it. Call me when you fill it up. I'm going to come pick them up. And then he just calls everybody in there and say, hey, you won your free lunch. That's all they're looking for. You got 30, 45 minutes with a person you don't know to sit there and tell them about what you do and find out about what they do. You know, worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to spend a little extra money on a little extra lunch. But there's ways to go out and do your business, okay? There's ways to make contacts when you don't think you can make contacts. There's all kinds. Just be creative and figure it out and make this thing work for yourself. So anyway, I'm on this national conference call, and I'm listening to these other guys, you know, and everybody's got the same deal. You know, I didn't know what a 3-foot rule was. I said it and didn't know it. But, you know, they say, what's your secret? I said, anybody gets close enough to me, I talk to. You know, I mean, that's just it. You talk to those people, okay? But what I did say on that call, which is, you probably heard it a dozen times, but again, I had never heard anything, but it made sense to me. I said, you know, the way I figure it is, there's no way I'm going to get anybody to say yes unless I try to get people to say no. You know, you've got to give them the opportunity to say no. If you don't give them the opportunity to say no, they will not say yes because you haven't talked to them, okay? So don't be afraid of the no's. We got to get through the no's to get the yes. Y'all agree with that? Okay. Anybody ever heard this information before? I told you. Okay. So I know this lady hasn't over here, so I'm all right. So anyway, let's get into a couple more things. Okay. So, what I want to do right now is I'm going to use this grease board again, and especially for the new associates, because this is real important. You've got somebody in your organization, you know, it's going to teach you how to build an organization. You've got your sponsor, okay? If you can't see this, then, you know, anyway, whatever. You'll figure it out. Come look at it or get with the person next to you. But I'm going to real quick give my philosophy on how anybody can be a director within the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. I love everybody in this room, and I don't even know but a handful of you, but I love you because I like Prepaid Legal, and we're part of the same family, and we're going to be friends one way or the other, whether you like it or not, okay? So I want to help you, okay? And I've helped lots of people on my team do this. I've talked to several people in this room today that have been manager for a year and a half, you know, or whatever, and all that good stuff, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody's season is different, okay? There's no secret formula to anything. But what's important is that you go ahead and you put this thing to work. Everybody in here invested some kind of money, be it $49, $249, $72, $99. Somebody invested something in their business. Okay, hopefully you've got that back. But I'm going to tell you right now, everybody right now to me needs to be a brand new junior associate today. Okay, that's where you need to be, right here. I don't care if you're a platinum executive director, you know, $1 million club member, because we're going to get into that, okay? I'm a brand new junior associate all the time. My wife told me just last night, we're going to talk about this in a minute too, I missed core trainings because of y'all. And we had core training Thursday night, and everybody goes, where's Scott? You know, but actually, I haven't been at core training the last 2 or 3 weeks because I've been over in another part of the state doing PBRs. Okay, and they'll say, somebody walked up, Mr. Joe Francois, who's one of my executive directors, walked up to my wife Thursday night. She told me this on the phone last night and said, where's Scott been? Miss says he's in phase one. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, too. And she says, he's doing what we all need to be doing. He's out recruiting and doing PBRs and building, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute, right, as well. But here's what you need to know. We all need to be new junior associates today. If you want to build your team, then build your team today. Start today. You're a brand new junior associate, okay? Here you are. I just believe this. You know, there's no perfect scenario, and it doesn't work right every single time. But the first thing you want to do is, this is you, okay, right here. Here you go. That's you. You're brand new, okay? We're going to go out. What you want to do right now, you want to sit with, I'm sorry, I'm so bad. What's the name again? Okay, Miss Tracy. And who's your sponsor? You were. I remember that. Hey, great. All right, Miss Tracy, who's your sponsor? Oh, man, we got issues already. You see, it never works right. Okay. Every time. Okay, Daniel, here's the deal. We want our sponsor immediately. Our sponsor, whoever signs us up, should immediately say, okay, start making your list. Okay, make a list of, I say 20 to 100 people. Okay, 20 right now. I mean, right now on the spot, make a list of 20 people. And then you're going to continue to make that list up to 100 people within the next few days. Okay, because everybody knows that many people. So we're going to make a list of 20 to 100 people. I'm going to stick that right over here. Here's my list, 20 to 100, okay? So right off the bat, the next thing, that's the first thing we do. The second thing we do while we're making that list of 20 first, the second thing we do is say, okay, we're scheduling a PBR date for you within the next 72 hours. Okay, he needs to get back over here. And then the next 72 hours, doing a PBR. PBR is a private business reception. I hate to be crude, but I refer to it as a Tupperware party, okay? Because my mom used to have those, okay? So that's all it is. It's a way to get some family and some friends and anybody else over to your house to show them what you're doing. And there's different ways of doing that. But right off the bat, you want to get a date and a time, okay? Because that's very important. And it needs to be, in my opinion, within the next 72 hours, next 3 days, okay? Now, you've done that. Okay, let's just say, and I like to use what I think are real numbers, but practical numbers, and it doesn't always work that way, but just for the sake of being simple, 50%. You call these 20 people, and 10 of them say they'll come to your house, okay? Now, you're going to do a private business reception. You're going to have your sponsor there with you, and they're going to show you how to do this, and it's real simple, okay? And those of us that know already know. Everybody knows this, right? But you're still a junior associate today. You're going to schedule a PBR. You're going to have 10 people at your house, and 5 of those people, we're back to the 50% number, 5 of them are going to take this membership. They're going to see this, and they're going to take a membership, okay? And I'm just going to say only 3 of those 5 are going to become business associates, not all of them. Usually it's all of them in my experience, but we're going to try to be a little bit real. So we're going to say that you just signed up 5 memberships out of your 20 people that you called. Because you just, they're friends of yours, they're family, they're gonna come see what's going on. Most people will, not always, but you know, I'm just trying to help. And out of those, you just got 3 associates, okay? You promoted yourself to senior associate, so you roughly made about $600, okay? 600 plus, right off the bat. Anybody could use 600 bucks their first 72 hours in the business? I think so. Yeah, I've been in the business for 3 years. I'll use 600 bucks. I'm good with that. So basically what happens is I just brought 3 people into the business, okay? What am I going to do with those three people right there? Right there that night, while we're filling out their paperwork, I'm going to say, make me a list. Give me a date and time within the next 72 hours. Let's go do a PBR. Okay? So, we just duplicated that. We just did it again. So within the next 72 hours, what have I got going on? I got three PBRs with my brand new associates. What's this one PBR? That's mine. I'm doing it again. Why? I got another 80 people I got to call. Okay? Let's not forget about those. We didn't make that 100 people for nothing. All right? I got another 80 people I can call. So, what happens is now in the next 72 hours, I got four PBRs going. One for me and three for my brand new associates. If the same thing duplicates, and usually if you do this right, it will. You just promoted yourself to manager, okay? You just gave yourself a raise. You made, we're just going to make it simple, made $35 override on those nine people. So you just gave yourself another, whatever that is. I don't know, what is that? Somebody help me with that. And I thought so. So you just made another $300. Let's not forget, you just had a PBR, and you just had three people sign up. So you're going to put them right here. You're going to help your team, your director, okay? You just made another, what did you make? Another $300 because you're making overrides on them. You know, we're actually making more than that because you got promoted. All right. You can be a director that quick in 6 days. I fully believe that. I've seen it happen. And it doesn't happen every single time. If it takes you 4 weeks, do it. Plug it in. Make it happen. But how can you make it happen? You got to be intentional. What does Jeff Olson say? You know, the person's got their most energy, their most momentum when they're filling out their paperwork. Their biggest belief is right there on the spot. If we don't capitalize, Ms. Tracy, if it's not capitalized right now, it's not that you don't believe, but after a while, you know, if you don't keep that fire burning, it kind of tends to go out a little bit. Right now is when we know it can happen, because this is real. This is real to the person that just became a new associate. So now you've got a full team. You're a director. Let's not forget, we got a little bonus money going on there. We just got $100 for being promoted to manager. We just got $1,000 for being promoted to director within 30 days. Do we push the $1,000 bonus? That's huge. Most people are trying to make an extra $600-$700. You go out and become a director. Not only did you make the paycheck, but you made a $1,000 bonus on top of that. That's roughly, what is it, about $2,600, something like that? I don't know. I've done the math before, but I'm not trying to think right now. Roughly about $2,600 that brand new associate can make within 2 or 3 weeks if we get busy and do this. Does anybody think that can be done, or am I the only one? It can be done, right? Does anybody have the belief that can be done? Okay. Come on, because that's where it comes from. I know y'all have heard it before, and you've said it before, and you've done it before, but we're all brand new junior associates today, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, we've hit platinum too. We've been platinum a couple of times, you know, and, you know, we've had 70 Ds, and we've had stuff like that going on, but I'm telling you what, where did my wife say I was? I'm in phase one. All right, now, up in North Louisiana, I got a brand new front line out there that within 3 days they hit manager. They've got two manager legs right now, and they're fixing to create their third one. I guarantee you this week when I get back, if it hasn't already happened, that individual is going to be a director. Okay, I know that. I've got another one in Baton Rouge that's already a manager. You know, he's got a senior associate. He's got his three front line. One of them's already a senior. He's a manager. But all three of those front line each have somebody already being built in their organization. The other two aren't seniors yet because he's placing. But my point is he's building, and his intention is to be director within the next couple of weeks too. Okay, those are the two people that I recruited last week. This can be done. Okay, it has to be done. You've got to be intentional about your business, because what are you trying to build for yourself and your family? You're trying to build a part-time income that you can drag $600 or $700 off of for the next 5 or 10 years or so, or 6 or 7 months until you burn out into the business? Or are you trying to build something that'll retire you and your family and build a heritage for your children and your children's children? When's the best time to be intentional? Right now, okay? Right now, while you're excited about it. Right now, not until after the fire burns out, but right now, you keep those home fires going. Does that work for you guys? Does that make sense? Because I know you've heard it before, but what I see in my own organization, so I know it's everywhere else, is we get bored with it. We get burned out. Our belief goes down. And it shouldn't, because that belief is transferred in us. But look, I go to church every Sunday morning, okay? again, this is my deal. Doesn't have to be everybody's deal. But I go every week. I've been going since I was my entire life, okay? But, you know, I made a commitment at 8 years old, okay? That was my decision. What do they say? What's the ham and eggs deal? Bacon and eggs, you know? Yeah, right. Huh? There you go. I couldn't get the involved part. My brain doesn't work all the time, okay? The chicken's involved, the pig's committed, okay? That's in the bacon and egg situation. You know, that's the deal that's going on. That's where the chicken is involved, the pig's... Luke, explain that to her. You know, the pig was committed. That's all there is to it. I was committed. I was involved up until I was 8, but I became committed, you know, at 8, okay, to my belief system. And we go, and I'm raising my family the same way, but here's the deal. Since I was a little person, but at least since I was 8, as long as I can remember, every single Sunday, I hear the same thing, okay? Nothing's changed. It's all the same information. Sometimes it's delivered a little bit different. Sometimes it's delivered by a different person. I've even changed locations because I wasn't real satisfied with the situation, okay? But when I got to the new location, same thing. All right. What's going on right here is the same thing that's going on in South Louisiana. I come all the way up here and tell you the same thing that Mr. Dave Hall is going to tell you. Okay? Why? Because it works. And it's what we believe in. And it's what's going to go on and on and on and on and on. It's a simple system to follow. So if you don't believe that, then we got to start all over again because it works. Okay? So take this thing and build what you want to build for your family right now. Okay? That's where I want to go with this. What I want to do is from there. So we got all that. We don't have to spend any more time on that, but that's huge. That's what we teach our team, okay? And not everybody does it, but everybody should, okay? And if you're not, then you need to get back inside here and find out what's going on, okay? Because there are plenty of people out there that would love to be a circle on this board. I can promise you that. And there ain't nothing that won't fix that but going out and doing a few more exposures, talking to a few more people. If it's not happening, it's because you're not talking to enough people. That's all there is to it. There's plenty of people out there. What's the penetration up here in Utah?
Too little?
That's probably a little bit more than it is in Louisiana. So, okay, so that's where it is. What I want to do right now is I want to run a video clip that probably, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Y'all are going to figure that one out for me. Some of y'all have seen it, some of you haven't seen it. But I don't care what you've seen, don't form an opinion until we get there, okay? If you've seen this video, great, just watch it. But there's what I want to touch on in it. If you've seen this, you've probably been trained on something in it. If you hadn't seen it, great, it's going to be new for you. But just go ahead and roll them. Pay strict attention.
Your attitude's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, means your heart's not right.
You hear that?
Sure, let's preach it.
Mm-hmm. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Mac.
How strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
your best.
Okay.
You gonna give me your best?
I'm gonna give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest for a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
Finally.
I know you said
it. If I had strength.
Then you negotiate with your buddy to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. You not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
It burn.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on.
Who in here, hopefully, but who in there, this is the first time to ever see that?
Wow.
Okay. David, you didn't recommend anybody go to that movie when it was at the theater? What happened? That's y'all's first time, so that many people, it's their first time to see that? Well, good. I brought the right clip then, didn't I? Okay. Because the last thing you want to, well, not the last thing, but, you know, it's nice to know not everybody is repetition. Okay. What? You don't talk when somebody else is talking. My wife does that to me all the time. I think I'm messing up. So, okay, there's a lot of things. Now, who in there has been trained on that video before? Okay, so we're about 50-50 in here. I'm going to venture to say that most people in here on that video have been trained the fact that the guy didn't think he could make it, and he made it. Okay, he did something that he didn't think he could do. Is that right? Is that what most people got out of that? Okay. No? Good. Okay, been trained more. All right, that's good. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot more to that video. But typically, you're training on what we just talked about. This can be done, okay? This can be done. But where does it begin? What was the very first thing that was said in that video? You know, I'd like to run this thing about four times, honestly, but we don't have that much time, and y'all are going to get sick of it anyway. But there's a lot more in that video than that. What's the first thing that happened in that video? Who can tell me? That's right. That's right. Where do you begin with this business? You got to have the right attitude. That's right. And that starts with your philosophy, okay? You got to have the right philosophy. Jeff Olson says, you know, that you must have a proper philosophy, okay? You really got to understand this. And this is what he says. He says, how your philosophy affects your attitude is how your attitude affects your actions, okay? If your attitude stinks, it's really based upon what you think about your team and everything else that's going on out there, okay? You guys are a part of a phenomenal organization right here. You're part of a phenomenal company, okay? That, I mean, we're, you know, I mean, no one, again, can shake that, okay? No one can shake that. There's not a better company out there to be working for today in America, I think, than Prepaid Legal Services. Anybody else agree with that? So why in the world could you have a bad attitude about working for a company like Prepaid Legal, all right? And when you're a part of an organization like what's sitting right here in this room, all right, this blows my mind with the help and the assistance that's going on in this room, why these numbers shouldn't just be doubled at the next Super Saturday. You should have twice as many people in here, actually about four times as many people. Okay, you really, really should. You know, I want to come back and go, wow. You know, but that's where it should be. But the philosophy affects the attitude affects the actions. Your actions are what's going to make it happen, and your actions are going to be based upon your attitude, okay? So, we saw what just took place there. Now, what did the coach do to him? What was the first thing he did when he stood up and told him he wanted to give him his best? What was the first thing the coach did? Blindfolded him. Why do we do that? Couldn't see his limits. That's good. What else? What would be another reason? I mean, that's huge. You're right. That's right. Again, so seeing the limits. Other thing I'm looking for is the focus. You know, it's easier to focus when all of a sudden all the other obstacles and things are taken out of your way. Okay, everything is gone. Now you only have one thing, and that's just to keep on going. You know, you've got to have the right focus. You have to have the proper focus. There's a lot of distractions out there. Okay, a lot of distractions. You know, everybody listen to Jim Rohn. Who listens to Jim Rohn? Building your network, whatever. I'm so bad. I got Tracy down though. I remember that. What? Yes. I love what he says. You know, how come you weren't at the meeting tonight? Well, I had to fix the screen door, you know. You know, you can't let the screen door fall off. The trash had to be taken out. Things got to get done. You just can't ignore all that stuff. You know, no, this is my business, you know. Increased his belief. That's exactly right. There's so much, you know, that we have to do as leaders. You see, the training to me is always the guy crawling across the ground, okay? He's always the guy doing the death crawl. You can do more than you think you can do. There's more in you than you think. I love the story about Roger Bannister. Who knows the story about Roger Bannister, the guy who ran the first... You know, I Think You Can. The book I Think You Can is where I read it. Some people just like track, and they know that story. But those of you that don't know, he's the first man that ever ran the mile under 4 minutes, okay? It couldn't be done. And it said physically it was impossible. It's physically impossible to be done. So, but he trained the way everybody else trained. So he came up with a new way to train. He started training against quarter mile runners who ran it under, you know, 15 seconds. He started training against people that were beating the quarter mile under 15 seconds. And so therefore, when he trained against those kind of people, he was able to beat the quarter mile in a minute. I got that right. The 4 minute mile. Thanks. I told you, sometimes it just doesn't work. Okay. The 4 minute mile, four of those is a minute. Okay. He started training that away, but it was said it couldn't be done. Okay, but we always focus on the guy doing the death crawl. He did more than he sucked more out of his body than he thought his body could give. And the whole way he was saying, this is tough. This hurts. Yeah, my muscles are burning. This is very difficult. Okay, why? Because it's out of his comfort zone. It's something he is not accustomed to doing. All right? How'd he make it? Workout partner? That's coach. It's the coach. It's the part that most people miss. And it's the part that we as leaders typically mess up on. You're in. I'm glad you're here. These are the things you need to do. Let me know when you got them done. You know what I mean? You could do it. That coach was on his hands and his knees, pounding the ground, saying, don't give up. Don't give up. You're almost there. You can do this. You can make it. You know, there's more in you. Don't listen to what your body's telling you. Don't pay attention to your dad who says that's a pyramid. Get out of that. Don't listen to that stuff. I earned a $100,000 ring. I went to show my dad. He said, Scott, it's a scam. You know, you can't people that love you, they really do love you. Okay? But they don't always know what's best for you. I need two volunteers. All right. Give me two. Two people. First two people stand up. Mark, you're a good one. Mark, you get up here. All right. Melissa. You know what? I appreciate you. I want a man.
You want a what, sorry?
I want a man.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Melissa, I shouldn't do that to you. Actually, Melissa, you come up and give me another woman. Russ, get me two chairs. Gabby, come on. Russ, get me two chairs and bring them up here. Yes, you're my other man. Okay. I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I want to do it. I want to do this twice. It's the same time. I'm going to try an experiment. I hope it'll work. Get up in that chair. No, wait. No, you get up in the chair. You stand in the chair. Okay, stand in the chair. Yeah, stand in the chair. Now you're stand in the chair. Stand in the chair. Sit on the floor facing him. You sit on the floor facing him. Y'all turn and face each other. You sit, but y'all face each other. Okay? Now... reach down and grab hands. Link hands. All right. Just one hand. Well, two hands is good too. Okay? I hope this works, but I'm going to make a huge point. Not yet. Not until I say go. Okay? And I don't want you to try to overpower anybody because I don't want anybody to get hurt. But the goal is I want the guy on the chair to try to pull the guy on the floor up and the person on the floor to try to pull the person on the floor down. Okay? No, 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 no. Now wait. Now what's your name?
Michael.
But we're not doing clean jerks here, okay? What we're trying to do is I just want a regular old pull, okay? I don't want any clean jerk. And so I really don't want anybody to get hurt, but I want them on the stage so everybody can see this, okay? I don't want a clean jerk, Mark. Be fair. All right. Go ahead and each of you pull. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're going to win, right? You just don't want to hurt her. All right. And if you weren't a clean jerk like you were, you'd probably, you know. Are you pulling up slow? All right. Here's my point. Y'all go ahead and get down. I probably should have picked somebody different. I could have put Mark on the floor. Y'all know that, okay? Here's where I'm going with this. Who's typically going to win? Who's typically going to win in that contest? Person on the floor. The bigger jerk. Yeah, I shouldn't have let Mark up here. That was wrong. So, and without question, Gabby, you were just going to lose, but you were fixing to get hurt. Okay, so it's kind of dangerous. The point is, the person on the floor is typically going to always, always, always win that, you know, event right there. And typically what we do is, we're on a high. We're doing something great for ourselves. And we'll go to one of these family members or friends or somebody that will tell us, that ain't going to work. That's a scam. That's a pyramid. Or you're not going to make it. Or I've been there. I've tried that, you know. What really happens is, what that person's, they're going to try to pull you down. And you know what? They're going to win. Okay? What they're really saying is, if you're successful, I've got no excuse. Okay? I like it down here. And I want you down here with me. Okay? Because if you make it, then I've got no excuse. Then I've got to say, I've got to get out and do something. And I ain't got no desire. Stay away from those kind of people. They will destroy you. They will have you on the floor. They will bloody your nose. They will beat you up. You will lose, even if it's your dad, even if it's your brother, even if it's your best friend, even if it's your spouse. Okay? I'm just being real. If you believe in something, don't let anybody take that away from you. Because they will rob you of your dreams. They will rob you of your dreams. Okay? And we all have the right to dream. We all have the right to be somebody. We all have the right to fulfill the future that we desire, that we were created to be. Because we all have them. Okay? Nobody in here was created not to be who they were created to be. Now, that doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense, but it's a true statement, okay? Because I was created for greatness. No question about that. But as long as I am handicapping myself to where I don't think I could do any better, because honestly, that's exactly the way I was raised. I was told that this is as good as it gets. You will be working for somebody. You will get a retirement. You will get Social Security. And that's where you're going to be. I love my dad as much as I can love my dad. Can't love him anymore. He's 77. He ain't making it. He ain't got enough Social Security. He's driving a delivery truck from my cousin. Okay? He's miserable. He won't tell you that, but he is. My mom's miserable. She won't tell you that, but she is. They've really got no relationship. They can sit there and stare at each other over a 45-minute meal and not say a single word. Okay? And they love each other. But they've never gone anywhere. They've never been able to accomplish anything. And it's a sad state. I want you to do yourself a favor. Next time you go to a restaurant, just sit there and look around at the people that don't say a word to one another the whole time they're sitting in the restaurant. They don't even talk to each other. And they'll be married the rest of their lives. And this hurts me to say this. But the point is, they're not doing anything with their lives. They have accepted what our society has told them they need to accept. And they are not stepping out and becoming who they were created to be. Now, working an 8-to-5 job is not a bad thing. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm saying there's more life out there that we need to give ourselves, and we are not willing to give it to ourselves. We're willing to listen to the people that don't want us to rise up and become great. Y'all with me on that? Okay. And I got to tell you, I'm sick of it. I am sick of it, okay? But I was scared, and I was working for myself. My dad always worked for somebody else and always said, that ain't going to be me. But you know what? Even though I had my own business and I was working for myself, I was still accepting the fact that I couldn't be any better than what I was doing. That's why I was looking at bankruptcy. Okay? There's nothing wrong with bankruptcy. Nothing wrong with it at all. But I wasn't looking at bankruptcy other than any other reason that I wasn't doing more than I could be doing. Okay, I could be doing more, and I was accepting the fact that that was as good as it was going to get, and I was going to be a failure. Okay, and in my mind, I didn't want to be, but I was. Okay, because I was accepting that. Whatever you think about yourself, dadgum, go out and do it. Okay, was it? I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but I got to share this part. There's a book by T.J. Hoisington, If You Think You Can. Everybody needs to read that book, in my opinion, okay? Personal development is a huge part of what we do. It's a great book, okay? That's where the Rogers Bannister story comes from. But here's my story. With that book changed my life, the first chapter. Halfway through the first chapter, that book changed my life. I got 8 kids. 4 of them are boys, okay? That means the other 4 are girls, for those of you that aren't good at math. Hey, Lucas. None of them are named Friday, by the way. I'm driving through San Antonio. I'm on my way back from West Texas. I got about 4 hours before I'm home, 5 hours. Now I got probably 5 hours before I get home. And I'm reading the book while I'm driving. I know that's not good, but that's my point. We won't get into the do's and don'ts of driving. We already know I'm not good at that. I'm reading this book. I just opened this book up, and I was maybe into the first 2 or 3 paragraphs, and my 18-year-old son at the time calls me up and says, "Dad," I'm going, "Yeah." He says, "Can we jump off the metal building onto the trampoline?" I said, "I mean, here's a first response. No, you can't do that. You'll dent up. You'll tear up my roof. Y'all don't get on that roof. You can't do that." Now, honestly, it was, "No, you're going to get hurt." That's really what I was thinking. Okay, but I'm thinking, "No, you can't do that because you're going to tear up my roof." My kids know me pretty well. "Well, then can we jump out of the second floor onto the trampoline?" I built my house, and I've got these doors, and I haven't built the deck yet, so the doors just step out off in the never-never land. Right? Happens to be the boys' room, by the way. I can build the deck, just hadn't got the cash yet. I filed bankruptcy, remember? I said, "No." I said, that's got to be at 8 feet or more. No way, that's too high. "It's 11 feet, Dad." Tell me my boys don't know me, right? I said, so they already knew I was going to say no to the building part. They had already measured the distance from the floor. They probably already had the doors open and the trampoline pulled up underneath it, okay? I said, "No, Ben." I said, "It's not safe. Mom's not home. I'm 5 hours away. No, you can't do that. I'm not going to let it happen." Okay. Hung the phone up. I read 3 or 4 paragraphs. Close, "If You Think You Can." And the first chapter is all about how we tell our children no. "No, you can't do that, okay? You can't be great. You can't explore your possibilities. You can't step out and become who you're created to be. Can't. My mother raised me on a phrase that, to the best of her knowledge, was the most optimistic, encouraging phrase ever, okay? She meant so good with it. Can't do anything, okay? Y'all ever heard that before? Can't do anything, okay? When I would say I can't, my mom, encouraging as she could be, would say, can't do anything, Scott. But I was already telling myself I can't. So I was telling myself that, yeah, can't do anything. I can't. I was just destroying myself. She was trying to help, and it's all on how you deliver something. That's a horrible phrase, because it was reinforcing to me that I was correct. And in her way, she was saying, "You're wrong." But the point is, I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden it says, you can't do that to your kids. You got to encourage them and let them go out. And my uncle he's dead now, but he's a multimillionaire. Anybody in here know anything about horses or cattle? Actually, cattle, living up country. You ever heard of the brand Prefort? You know what a head gate is, a shoot gate, a squeeze gate? My uncle has the original patent on that. Prefort, biggest name in the industry. If you ever watched a rodeo, those gates... You look, Preferred's plaster everywhere. The champion bull riders and everywhere got Preferred all over themselves. He broke both of his legs when he jumped off the windmill and invented some wings, right? Trying to learn to fly when he was a kid. You know, and his parents didn't say, don't do that. Go out. Create. Be somebody. He was never told he couldn't. And he died a multimillionaire in his family. It's one of my accounts, by the way. So you don't have to go call in corporate saying if they're a group. But he wasn't told no. I closed the book up. I picked up the phone. I called Ben. I said, Ben, all right, you can do it. But problem is, your other two brothers, I think, can handle it. But your little brother, who I think was 6 at the time, I said, he's going to want to do it. I said, I'm not there. I said, he's your responsibility. I said, after you do it and your next two brothers do it, you have to make the decision whether he can do it or not. You're going to know whether he can do it. I said, I trust you. I'm putting him in your hands. And I don't want you to tell him how he can get hurt if you make that decision. I want you to tell him what he can do and what he can accomplish and how he needs to accomplish it. I said, but I'm leaving it up to your discretion. And I said, you let me know. You know, I hope y'all have fun. Be careful. Oh, man, my heart was going. About 10 minutes later, phone rings. Yeah? Dad, it's the most awesome thing. You should see Gabe, man. He's already done it 3 times. I mean, bam, bam, bam. They're going nuts, okay? So now it's the family event. I mean, I got there about 12:30, and look, I wished I had the video. You should see my wife look like a test dummy, okay, when she hit the thing. It's so funny. It really is. But everybody was doing it. The sisters were doing it. Now all the friends, they come over. Dad, can we get to jump off the trampoline? Gabe, he's 8 now. And he's got his friends jumping out the window. I'm going, no, one of these parents are going to sue me one day. You can't do that, okay? But no, never mind. I got prepaid legal. So anyway, I empowered my kids to something. And I mean, it's just a matter of we can do anything we want to do, okay? Unless somebody tells us we can't. Okay, but where was the coach? Back to the movie. The coach was on his hands and knees, pounding the ground, saying, don't give up, don't give up. You can do it, you can do it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Okay, that's where I'm going with that. Okay, so here's the 3 or 4 things we got out of that. Attitude, you got to have the right philosophy. Perseverance, you got to have your goals. Okay, what's his goal? 30. No, 50 is your goal. Okay, he hit 100 because of you know, where his focus was on what he wanted for the blindfold, but the encouragement came from the coach, came from the sponsor, came from the upline. Call it a workout partner if you need, but dadgummit, the upline needs to be there on his hands and knees as well, okay? We need to be there helping our associates. We can get everyone we need to get that wants to, that's willing to step up and do this. We can get them wherever they want to get, okay? But we have to be a part of that. We can't just give it to them and say, let me know when you get there, okay? We have to be a part of that. So that's a huge part of what we do, and I love that about what we're able to empower people with. A few more things I want to talk about. I got another 3 hours, right? Okay. Who do you want to be like in this business? What's your goal? Where do you want to be? Everybody should have the same one. Not this week, not this month, not Dallas. What are you looking for? Who do you want to be like? Dave Savola, number one money earner in the company. Okay. Platinum. You said platinum? I agree. Platinum. All right. Hybrid. That's cool. Everybody's platinum. Everybody you want to be like is at least a platinum in this company. Okay. Huh? Double platinum. All right. Or diamond, but let's just say, basically what you want to be like is the number one person in the company. That's where you want to go. That's your goal should be that. Okay. Now, realistically, we're not going to accomplish that tomorrow, but we could. But that's not it. But you got to think the way they think. Okay. So I want y'all to write this stuff down. What's it take to be a platinum? Okay. Who was at the convention, this last convention in OKC? Who remembers KO Camp Philibon? Amazing. That guy was amazing. Man, I was like going, I'm going home now. Okay, but I mean, he had the right philosophy. He stepped out and said, you know, I don't know who recruited him. That's not my concern. My deal is he stepped out and said, I want to be like the number one person in the company. Who is he? Where is he? And what is he? I got to be a platinum. Okay, what's it take to be a platinum? Oh, you got to have 4 EDs in your team. Okay, great. What's that take? What's it take to be an ED? Oh, what's it take to be a director? He started at the top and he worked his way down so he would know what he had to do to get there. It was amazing what he did. And I'm not going to go through all of that, but you need to figure out who you want to be like, and then you need to go find out how to be like that person, okay? So basically everybody wants to be a platinum. Here's what a platinum does, okay? Platinum, first of all, has what? A positive attitude. If your attitude stinks, you ain't going to be a platinum, okay? First thing a platinum has is a positive attitude. Very important here. Platinum knows his why. Okay? You've got to know your why. That's the other thing. If you don't know, you eat my chips? Okay, cool. If you don't know your why, you're not going to get started too good. Okay? Now, your why can change. Okay? I sit on my couch, Mr. Jeremy Roma. I don't know, some of y'all may know him, some of you may not. I don't know, we're not going to get into all that, but here's the deal. I sat on my couch, the man sat across my couch from me. He said, Scott, what do you want out of this business? Look, my eyes were bloodshot. Like, I tell you, it was about a year ago, not even quite a year ago, I was traveling with my son, who's 20 now. And I said, Ben, I said, you know, what do you think about me doing prepaid legal? He says, Dad, I think it's great. I said, what is it that you think's what has impressed you the most about this, you know, over the last couple of years? I don't know what he's going to say. I was trying to get something deep out of him, right? He looked at me and he says, the fact that you don't have any wrinkles on your head anymore. I went, wow. You know, I mean, it's true, okay? It's a stress thing. There's so much that we're killing ourselves with out there, and we got a way to quit that, okay? And, you know, and it's true. I was sitting on my couch. I'm on this couch. Jeremy's on this couch. I was worn plumb smooth out, okay? I had wrinkles on my forehead. I'll be 50 this year. That's not old, but I looked older, I guarantee you that, okay, 3 years ago. And, you know, my eyes were bloodshot and everything else. Now just because I hadn't been sleeping, so you don't judge me on my eyes today. But here's the thing. I told Jeremy, he says, what is it that you want out of this business? I said, I just want to pay my bills, okay? I mean, if I cry, forgive me, but I said, I just want to pay my bills. He looked at me and he says, you can do that. He said, you can do that, no problem. And I'm thinking, good. He said, but if that's all you want, that's all you're ever going to do. I went, wow. You know, I mean, all of a sudden I thought, you know, I thought that's all there was to life, was paying your bills, getting through one day at a time. A whole lot more out there than that. But if that's what we're going to settle for, that's all we're ever going to get. Okay? Does anybody want more than paying their bills? Oh, yeah. A lot more. Okay? But my why at that point, I was in Walmart pushing. I'm in the grocery cart line. My kids are beef jerky fanatics. Okay? They could live off beef jerky. My boy's good. I had 3 of my youngest boys in the grocery store with me at the time. I'm in there in the line. I didn't know what my why was, but we were new in the business. But I'm standing there and I look. You know how it is. You're looking at all the condiments and everything. You're standing there waiting to check out, waiting for that lady of the 87 things up there, you know, and she's got coupons. Going, my gosh, I'll never get out of here. And I look over and here's all these things of beef jerky. I'm going, oh, shoot. Where are the kids, you know? I have $200 worth of groceries there. I'm not even sure if my car, you know, we're going to get them paid or not. The kids come running up. They come running up and boy, I mean, like a maggot. Oh, Dad, can we get some beef jerky? Kind of like you can't jump off the roof because you're going to mess up my roof. I said, no, it's going to ruin your dinner. Can't do that. You know, mom's cooking dinner. We're going to get home. We can't do that. Mess up your dinner. Although the truth was, I can't afford $8.50 for a bag of jerky. That was the truth, okay? But I wasn't going to tell them the truth. But I told them what I could tell them. Okay, but it was right then and there I made up my mind. I am never, my why is never to say no to my kids because of finances. That just stinks. You know, that just stinks that I can't give them $8.50 worth of jerky. You know what I mean? It hurt. It hurt bad. Okay. So whatever your why is, you need to have it. You need to cling to it. You need to stick it in here, and you don't need to let go of it. And if it changes, it changes because your situation has changed for better, okay? So you can have a different why. But find out what your why is today and don't let go of that, okay? Make it real because that's where I am. I don't want to say no. So a platinum knows his why. Number 3, a platinum learns to handle rejection, okay? I had this conversation with somebody just yesterday. Nobody likes rejection, guys. Nobody, all right? I hate rejection. I can't stand it, okay? You like rejection, Dave? Hate it. How much money you earn in this business? Anybody? Hey, anybody ever told you no? Just one? He's dead. Okay, well, he's an exception to the rule, all right? I don't like it, okay? But he's dead. That's true. The man can flat shoot 433 yards with this, you know, through a I don't know nothing about him. Man, I was like, oh, pow, he hit this rock. First shot yesterday, man. Wasn't even warmed up yet. And yeah. The rifle's defective, I'm telling you. I tried it. It didn't work. Platinum learns to handle rejection because you're open sight things. Because it shows how much I know. Put a golf club. I can do that. I could hit it with a golf ball. Platinum learns to handle rejection. You're going to get rejection, but you can't let that bother you, okay? Because I'm telling you, what did I say when they asked me how you recruited so many people? I figured I can't get a yes till I try to get a no. You know, I've got to give them the opportunity to say no if I'm going to get a yes. That's all there is to it. You're going to get a bunch of no's, but you better learn to handle that or you're not going to make it in this business. Don't let it bother you, okay? Because most people can't think past their nose. I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't understand that, but that's all there is to it. You got to learn to handle rejection. Also, they build relationships. My gosh, people, I wish to anything. I'm ready to move up here. Y'all got some phenomenal relationships going on. You guys are doing a phenomenal job in here building relationships. Give yourself a hand for that. Okay, number five, they slow down to speed up. Okay, think about that for a minute. We get going so fast out there, all right? And that's not good. If you want to get better at this, if you want to speed up, if you want to do more, then slow down. Pay attention to your team. See what's going on in your organization. Get out there and become a part of that, okay, and get back into what you're supposed to be doing. Because that's what I said. What happened to me, you know, it's been about 8 months or so ago. I was going too fast, and a lot of our team has just kind of disappeared, crashed and burned, okay? I needed to slow down, you know, spend a little bit more time paying attention to what was going on, okay? You can't be a good leader if you're running too fast, you know, where you can't see what's going on out there. We had some fun with the four-wheelers and stuff yesterday. First thing we were told is, you know, we got to pay attention to what we're doing. I mean, we'll run off the edge of a cliff out there, you know, or you'll hit a big rock going too fast and you'll flip. Somebody's going to get hurt, you know? We got to take it a little bit easy to make sure things go properly, okay? Sometimes that's what you got to do. Stay in phase one. That was the other thing. Who knows phase one? Let's do a little sidebar right here because we're fixing to be finishing it in just a little bit. But you need to know what phase one is. I mentioned that earlier. But a platinum always stays in phase one, okay? Phase one. You stay in phase one? You better say yes. Phase one. Here's phase one. Phase one is to retail memberships and recruit associates to retail memberships. Okay, that's phase one. We're supposed to be out there marketing memberships and recruiting. Okay, building a team. That's phase one. Everything phase one is marketing memberships and recruit, as Mr. Stonecipher says, and don't get it out of order. Okay, y'all got that? That's phase one. Any questions on phase one? Okay, phase two, that's when we become a manager, okay? Phase two, now we're in management, okay? Phase two is all about managing your team, managing your organization, okay? Trying to teach your team how to get out and retail and do all that kind of stuff, okay? That's what phase two is. Phase three, now we're directors. Now we're out there directing all these managers, okay? It makes sense, right? That's corporate America. That's not where a platinum is. Platinum don't get involved in phase two. Platinum don't get involved in phase three. Okay? Because your team's going to do exactly what you do. And if you're too busy managing and directing, ain't nobody marketing memberships and ain't nobody recruiting associates. Okay? That's all there is to it. But I'm going to tell you what, if you lead by example, if you're down there on your hands and knees and helping people and working side by side with them and you're showing them and they're watching you and you're not just saying go do two exposures a day, you're doing two exposures a day. I had a great exposure on the way over here on the airplane. Thank you for the plane ride. This guy's going to be a winner. I'm talking to this guy. We actually got to talking before we got on the plane. And it wasn't going to be the end of conversation, but God was good because my seat was 6F and his was 6D. They had no idea. It's a complete stranger. So we asked the guy in 6E to move over. I gave him my window seat, okay? The more we talked, and I didn't hammer him with prepaid legal, but this guy's an entrepreneur. He's amazing. I let him train me. It was really cool. When we got all through, I mean, he's been successful. He's been in many network businesses. Sharp, 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 sharp guy. Let me tell you how he recognized me. This is another thing you need to know about. The reason our conversation started is because I pulled out this to make some notes. You always got to have one of these and a pen. And I pulled out a book that says Millionaire Mindset, okay? Because I was fixing to read and make notes. Personal development, right? What am I doing sitting in the airport? I'm not playing on my cell phone. Okay, I'm not doing video games, although I do some of that sometimes. But that's not what I'm doing with my time. I'm fixing to read a couple of chapters out of The Millionaire Mindset, which was going on the airplane with me, by the way, and I'm fixing to make some notes out of The Millionaire Mindset. But as soon as I pulled it out, this millionaire mindset guy quickly said, Millionaire Mindset? I said, yeah. I said, have you ever read it? Oh, yeah, six times. His antennas were up. This guy, you know, who you want to hang around? Who you want to be like? You better be like and hang around and learn from people that you want to be like, okay? You go hang around the guy that's going to pull you on the floor, that's where you're going to wind up. This guy recognized that book immediately, and I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't give him any time to recognize the book because when I pulled it out, I'm a very to-myself kind of guy, okay? I pulled the book out of my carry-on, and I pulled this out, and it was like this. And then I was fixing to open it up and get my pen and everything. That book wasn't exposed that long, but his antennas were up, okay? I have marketed memberships because my antennas are up, okay? I have walked by a person on their cell phone. I'm walking in a parking lot. Well, yeah, I know it. My credit, I don't know what happened, but I've been talking to my bank, and, you know, it's all messed up, and I went... And I leaned against this car until that person hung up the telephone. I said, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, we're writing a membership, okay? If your antennas aren't up, if you don't understand what you're doing out there, now, I wasn't going to do anything, but bam, I heard it. I stopped. Hey, wherever I'm going can wait, because right now this is the person that needs this service, okay? This guy saw this book. We sat on here. We talked for a long time, and finally I pulled out. I said, you ever seen one of these? And I gave him a business card, but I was handing him a DVD, and he goes, prepaid legal? I said, yeah. I said, you know about it? He says, my daughter's an associate. I said, really? I said, so you're an associate? He said, no, she hadn't talked to me yet. She's afraid of me. Wow. You know, I mean, think about that. You know what I mean? How many people out there are we afraid to talk to? And those are the people out there that we need to be talking to. It's our own dad. The guy is a major successful individual and loves to get involved in new business adventures. And she's afraid to talk to him, okay? She's only a few weeks. I hung her. She was on the airplane. She was in the back. They weren't riding together. Actually, they're on the way to her funeral. I won't get in on all that. But here's the deal. I said, I am not so naive to think that I have a chance of bringing you into this business. You need to be under your daughter so you can help her. He said, look, I'm going to seriously take a look at this. I'm going to email you and let you know my thoughts and everything, and we're going to talk. I said, I understand that, but I want you to know that I would not even think that I would bring you into the business in my organization. He said, we may be a part of your organization. That'd be cool. But I said, you know, I'm good with that. I said, but what I do know is you're a man who has contacts, you're a man who knows people, you're a man who can get things done, and you're also a man that's probably too busy to get both of those things done. So you call me, because between the two of us, we're going to get into some of your stuff. You know, he said, that would be awesome. You know, he got all excited. So even somebody in another organization we could tap into, okay, you just can't leave that for naught. You know, there's ways of doing that. So we'll see what comes of it. But the thing is, his daughter was afraid to talk to him. Okay, you can't be that way. Okay, that's not a platinum. There's no way. That's not a platinum, okay? So, you got to stay in phase one. That's where I was yesterday on the airplane or whatever day that was. Next thing, we're almost done, is you got to treat this like a business, okay? A platinum treats this like a business. This is not a game, guys. If you don't treat it like a business, you won't have a business and you won't get anywhere with this business, okay? You've got to be very, very intentional about what you're doing because your employer is very intentional about making sure you show up every single morning, okay? And if you don't, he's not going to pay you, okay? If you don't do your business, it's not going to work for you, okay? So treat it like a business. It is. The other thing is they maximize their time. Platinums maximize their time. Okay? What was I doing? I was fixing to read. Okay? I was fixing to do my personal development. But you got to have a daily routine. That's really what it comes down to. All the time people say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm not sure yet. Well, you should be. Okay? You should be doing the same thing every single day. You should know when you're going to do your exposures. You should know when you're going to do your personal development. You should know which team calls you're going to be on. You know, you should know all of that stuff. You know, you should have some type of routine to where you don't break from it so that you're consistent. Because otherwise, there's always going to be something else that's going to take its place. Okay? That's all there is to it. You've got to sit down and get your upline, whoever it takes, to help you. The last one is you've got to embrace the process. Okay? Because there's a process involved here. And you've got to wrap your arms around it. And you've got to internalize it and make it part of you. And you guys, congratulations for being here. This is part of the process, okay? This is part of being here. You guys that were there the other night, I know you had to hear me twice. I'm sorry about that, but congratulations. Okay, you got to plug in. You guys were at the barbecue last night. That's part of the building relationships type of deal. Mr. Hall is phenomenal. You know, I love that y'all are all doing that, all the leaders that are incorporated in part of that, and everyone who's showing up, because that's a sign of being a leader. So that's good stuff. So who do you want to be like? You want to be like the best? These are the things you got to do, okay? I love Brian Carruthers. He said it at the convention. You got two choices. You have two choices you can make. Write this down. You can make money or you can make excuses. But you can't do both. Okay? You cannot do both. You can't make excuses because the only person that can do this is you. And you're your only excuse. So don't make excuses. That's where I'll add this, one of my favorite phrases. Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. Okay? Now think about that. Don't matter whether you think you can or not, you're right. That's all there is to it. You're right. So you better start thinking you can. You better start can't do anything. I had to get that out of my system, okay? Because that's not a true deal. Who knows about, here's the process. Who knows about an old water pump, an old well? Who knows how those work? This is like old school. Everybody knows that. You can pump forever before you see any water come up. Okay? And it's a lot of flipping work. You pump and you pump and you pump and you pump and you pump. You're not going, I don't even know if there's anything in there, all right? And you're just killing yourself. You know, you're pumping, you're pumping, you're pumping, you're pumping, you're pumping. About the time when the water comes, ain't nothing to it anymore. It just works. The water's there, okay, and it's easy. Now you don't pump so hard, easy, nice, smooth, not so big a deal, strokes, plenty of water, okay? That's the process. Saw that guy doing the death crawl? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of hurt. But that's what it comes down to being a leader, okay? But you got to go through the process, and all of a sudden it just flows. And it's easy, and it comes second nature. You can handle the rejection. It's not a big deal. It's routine to do your two-a-day exposures. It's routine to get up in the morning and read your personal development book. Read your Bible, if that's what it is. It's routine. It's easy. It's part of the process, and you got to embrace the process, because if you give up in the middle of it, you ain't going to make it. Okay? I love that. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that's huge for me. There's a couple of books I think everybody needs to read. Who was at the OKC 09 convention? Yeah, that was a year ago, okay? Who in here, raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand that was at 09, that was two OKCs ago. Keep your hand up. Who in here that's got their hand up has read Justice is Green? Keep your hand up if you read it. Thanks, George. Russ. Wait, what's your name? Newlywed. Travis, you ladies in the back, those of you that went there and hadn't read that book, shame on you, okay? They were free, okay? They were giving them out to everybody that was there. Now, you can still get it, but it's of my belief that every single person, I don't care if you're Dave Savola, needs to read that book. Yeah, he probably, maybe not Dave, but here's the deal. That's a simple read. It's about this thick, okay? I mean, you know, I could slide it under a door that's cut too close to the carpet. It's not a thick book. It's an easy read. But especially for a brand new associate, that's the reason everybody needs to read it, in my opinion. It's a great read. It's short. It's simple. It's quick. It tells you everything you need to know about the membership that you're supposed to have a belief in. You want to know how to market it? You want to learn more about it? Go out and read that book. And it tells you some tremendous success stories. It tells you all about the company. It tells you everything you need to know to get out and do this business. But more than that, it tells you everything you need to know to help your brand new associates do this business. And so as a brand new associate, if I hadn't read it, I'm not going to think about giving it to the new person. Okay? You need to read it. It's huge. It's quick. It's simple. You can knock it out in an hour. Okay? It's not a big thing. But I'm telling you what, I believe everybody has to read it. But every new associate, that's a huge way for them to learn what they've got. What they got their hands in. So you need to grab that. A couple other books, and I'm not going to spend any more time on that. Pathway to Platinum. Great book. You want to be a platinum? Read Pathway to Platinum. Okay? If you think you can, I've already brought that one up. And I imagine everybody in this room has read Slight Edge, right? Jeff Olson. Jeff Olson is a system guy, okay? I kind of want to go through our through our 10 core commitments because that's what it's all about. But that's the system part. We're system-driven people, and if you're not following the system, you're not going to make it in here. it's just all there is to it. You may make it for a little while. What do we tell the salespeople? Spare us your brilliance for 6 months. Okay, don't come in here telling me you know how to do this because it ain't about what you know in sales. It's about following a simple system, okay? Because everything we have to do, we have to make duplicatable, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I didn't even own a suit. I'm serious. It's comical. I was like, oh, man, I got to go and buy a suit. I wasn't excited about that at all. You know what I mean? I really wasn't. I was like, oh, that is like, not me. Where I hadn't had a suit since Sadie Hawkins' day, you know, when I was in high school, you know. You know, I just didn't own a suit. It just wasn't my style. And now I love putting on suits. Why? Because it's a posture thing, you know. It really is. I was so uncomfortable going and getting the suit. Now, what I didn't realize was I paid too much for my first one. There's better ways. But I have several now. But the thing is, actually, this is my first one. Paid too much for this. It's neat. It's a whole posture. It's a whole mindset. It's a whole different person. We're in a very professional business. I'm not telling you to run out and buy a suit tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you there's a point in your business where you're going to take it up to another level, and you're going to get excited about it. It may be a little out of your comfort zone, but you're going to be great. And you're going to feel great. And you're going to go, you know what? I can be plastered. You know, Russ, again, I would never say anything to offend anybody, but we had this conversation yesterday. He said, man, I got to wear long sleeves to cover up my tattoos. No, you don't. You know, everybody fits everybody different. There's somebody out there you got to relate to. Maybe sometimes long sleeves is the way to go. So maybe sometimes, you know, a muscle shirt and showing the tats is the way to go. I don't care. The first thing we built our organization with, I'm telling you what, and again, please forgive me if anybody takes offense because I would never intend it that way, but we had about 30 people in a room and the majority of them had green hair and studs everywhere you could see, okay? And nothing wrong with that. So, but it wasn't me, but it's who was on my team, okay? And it's who took us to another level. And some of them are still in this business today. Some of them just got longer green hair. Some of them got suits, okay? It doesn't matter, all right? I'm just trying to be real with everybody in here. But it's a professional business, and you'll take yourself to another level and deal with whoever it is you want to deal with, however you want to deal with them. But be who you are and be great in that, okay? That's all I want to say is be great in whoever you are because everybody's different out there, and anybody can be in your organization, and anybody can be successful. So don't prejudge anybody, okay? So, like I say, I hope that came across right. But I can go on about a lot of stuff, but the main thing is you've got to have a serious passion about what you do if you want to be successful, and you need to have some goals. The only thing that my wife that I agree with her decision is what we used for today when we built our bedroom. If anybody in construction, those of you that aren't might know too, but a closet's 2 foot deep, okay? Just a standard closet in a room is 2 foot deep. So the way you build it is you construct it with these 2x4s, and then you throw some doors across the front, and you got a hanging rod in there and all that. I had this closet built in our room, and my wife comes in and goes, I don't want that closet there. I want our bed recessed into that. And I'm going, oh, God, that's going to be tough to make that bed and everything else. I want a cabinet built. Anyway, long story short, we don't have a closet, okay? Our bed is recessed 2 feet inside this cubby area now, you know, and I've got sconces on the walls, and I've got this cabinet for our winter clothes above our bed, okay? So I have this cabinet that comes out 2 foot, you know, it's in about 5 feet off the ground. I still don't like having to make the bed. It's really a chore sometimes. But the coolest thing is, the first thing I see every morning and the last thing I see every night before I close my eyes are our goals, because they're on the bottom of that cabinet. Okay, I lay there in bed and I look. This is everything we're doing. You know, I saw your goals on your dashboard today. Okay, you got the ring on your sun visor. Told me you had it all over your house. You know, there's a lot going on out here with our goals, but we got to have them somewhere where we can see them. You got to put them under your nose where you see them all the darn time, so you know what it is that you want to accomplish. And we got all of our goals plastered on the bottom of this cabinet. So as soon as we open up our eyes in the morning, there they are. Okay? And as soon as, before we close our eyes at night, there they are. Okay? And, you know, unless you sleep on your stomach, then I don't know what you're going to do. But anyway. but you got to have that out there too. So, you know, probably the thing I'm going to close with, we'll wrap up. So this is probably pretty good. Why not you? Okay? You want to be successful? You want to be great in this business? You don't want to be great in this business. That's okay. Maybe not. But why not you, and when's it going to be your turn? That's the last thing that K.O. said. You know, it blew my mind. And he was so passionate about what he was doing. Now, I do have something I want to share before I close on that, because I think I had forgotten about that. We homeschool our football team. Okay, we homeschool our kids, I mean, not our football team. Wow. I only got 8. We homeschool our kids. But on my property, I got about 5 acres of my property. There's literally a 100-yard field marked off, okay, striped and everything, to where the Homeschool Athletics Association, all the football players come out and practice football out there, okay? This is our third year, okay, and we play ball. And we have to practice in the evenings. You know, so I have 34 football players out there, you know, 3 and 4 nights a week. Cheerleaders practice out there as well. There's 20-something of those. It's really cool. It's really fun. But here's the thing. We started practice a couple of months ago. We got about 16, 18 new guy or veterans from last year, and we got like 14 or 16 brand new kids coming out, okay? Anybody, a couple of you may know, there's some they're called core, okay, but all the workout, it's a core workout. Some funky things, okay, but it works all the different muscles and it strengthens them and everything else. We got these kids, and we get a big old circle, get the coaches in the middle, and we walk around, and we're having them all do their core exercises, okay, and we're giving them these cores, and we're helping them and training them. Some of them are doing great, some of them aren't. And we get through with the core, we practice, and they're out there popping each other and hitting each other, and when they get through hitting each other, then we got them running, okay, sprints. Back and forth, run, run, run. And there's some big kids that are about to pass out, and I got 15 acres that I hadn't been cutting lately. I say, if you're going to throw up, you do it in that grass, okay? And we have some over there, you know, up chucking in the grass. It's humid down in South Louisiana. But these kids are working, and they're working hard, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, kind of like that football film. They're working really, really hard, but the kids that are working the hardest are the leaders, the veterans, because they're setting the pace and they're setting the example for those new kids. And we really do have these kids. We get around the circle, man, the kids are some about to pass out. And I'd say, Scorpion, his name's Gabriel, but we call him Scorpion. I say, Scorpion, how many years you been playing? This is my third year, coach. It's your first, you know, so you've been here since the start. Yes, sir. And he was one of our little kids. I said, you have to do what these kids have to do? I did. Yes, sir, coach. Was it tough? It was tough. Raise your shirt. Abs. I mean, he shows them their abs. You want to be like that? He says, is this still tough, coach? Is it worth it? Worth every bit of it. 3 or 4 kids come up, you know, giving them, showing them their guns and different stuff. These kids are building muscle and strength, and they're excited and they're encouraged, and these new kids are like going, whoa, I want to be like that, okay? But our veterans aren't standing there saying, You need to go do this and you need to go do that. No, they're out there running. They're killing themselves with the new guys. And the new guys are running every step of the way and hanging with them, and they're seeing what their reward's going to be. Okay? And I think that was the coolest thing. I'm like going, where are the managers and the directors and the executives and who's running with the juniors and the associates and the seniors? Okay, we better be, and we better be there every single step of the way so we can have the guns and the abs and everything that goes along with it, so we can build the strength to our organizations and to our belief system and our passion. Okay? And I'm like going, that's every single thing in life. Wherever you do, whatever you do, there's something out there that drives people, that make them go. And then there's something out there, if you're not plugging in with people, they just disappear. Okay? So in this business, you know, if you want to get the guns and the abs, you're not just going to get it because somebody showed you a picture. You're going to get it because somebody's working alongside of you doing what they're telling you to do, and they're doing it every single day. Okay? So back to it. Why not you? Okay? And when's it going to be your turn? Here's the thing that hit me the most about K.O.'s little speech. When he got all through, he says, I challenge every single one of you to go home and look your kids in the eyes and say, you're not worth it. Wow. You know, for me to tell my kids they're not worth me going out and making a commitment, I can't do that. Okay, my kids are worth it. There's somebody in your life, you know, that, and it may just be you. Are you worth it? You know what I'm saying? Can we do this? I'm not telling you guys anything new, but what I'm wanting to do, if nothing else, is to create maybe a different direction or a different thought or a different attitude or just some more life inside you. But you're worth it. You're worth every bit of it, you know. You're the master of your thoughts, okay? As a man thinketh, you know, so he is. You know, what are your thoughts? What are you worth? And what can you do? You can do anything you want to do. And those of us that know that, we're there to help you, okay? So with that, I just want to close. I want to thank you guys so much, you know, and hopefully I've done something out here today.
Alrighty. Let me tell you, you won't find Super Saturday guests as fun as Mr. Hammondtree. We have just had so much fun getting to know him and hanging out with him, having a great time. And we definitely will be getting him and Missy back out here. He's already got a spot reserved around the campfire this October for a hunting trip with us. He ain't never been big game hunting, but he asked if he could go this fall, and absolutely, we're gonna have him out here. There's so many more incredible.
I asked you, but I told my wife last night.
He's definitely coming. We're exchanging one hunting trip out here for a gator hunt down in Louisiana. You got to get me down there to go gator hunting with you.
Y'all want to see some real roadkill? You go look at the alligators out there in Louisiana.
We got a coffee table book for you to take home and show Missy some of the places
awesome.
That you went, and also some of the leaders have put some thoughts inside here that you can share with your family and stuff like that. And if you would like to share some words with Mr. Hammondtree before he gets out of here afterwards, we'll leave the book up here on the table. Come up, put your name in there, thank him for his time away from his wife and kids. We with 8 kids, you know, we thought about maybe prepaying for a year's worth of your cable or something like that, or getting you a new TV. We knew something was wrong there, but at least we could send you home with
cool.
A book to show your family what Utah looks like. So thank you very much, brother. Thank you. Give it up for Mr. Hammondtree. All right, and I've got to say a huge thanks to the state leadership that has helped out over the last few days. Everything from Kate running and getting the gift bag for Mr. Hammondtree at the last second, the tool table, the ladies that show up early and run the sign-in, our audio-video crew over here that just make everything run so smooth. the CMCs, the regional managers. I wasn't able to be here at the very beginning of the event. My daughter was getting baptized, and I was running a little late. Thanks. The bishop forgot to show up. Like, after sitting in the chapel listening to prelude music for a half hour, like, someone needs to call that dude. So I heard and texted Ryan. I said, dude, I'm not going to make it there in time. You gotta run the event. And without even asking the UDs to, they had printed off all the top recruiters and producers, rank advancements and everything, and brought it without me even asking them to do it, you know. And I came in at the very end, but I'm assuming that, you know, everything just went real smooth. And it's so nice to know that, you know, whether I'm here or not, this state just has such incredible leaders that if something happens and I can't make it to the event, that it is still a powerful, powerful event. So give it up for your state leadership. In fact, I got to show this real quick. Last night at the barbecue, if y'all missed the barbecue, I'm sorry. That was one of the funniest things I've seen in my entire life. Yeah. And if you were there, you are not allowed to tell the people who didn't show up what we did. You're not allowed to, because Sunday we'll get them too. Okay? But I'm just going to show the very last clip of a game that everybody thought they won. But it's the very last, the ending of the game. And you watch, like, I'm laughing so hard. Somebody comes up and, like, hits me in the back. I think it was Gabby. It was probably Gabby that came up and clobbered me. And I'm filming, and I'm trying to get away from her. I'm backing up, and she hits me. My phone goes flying over the buffet table, lands on the ground. And then you watch out the corner of the top left corner. I'm reaching over the table to pick up my phone, and someone throws their cup of water on me. See it coming down over the top. Okay, watch this. Oh, wait, hold on. Now they realize the joke's on them. Well, look. I'm dying. That was so funny. We'll stop that right there. It was so funny watching these guys in that game. And thanks, Todd and Deanne DeBell. That was their game. That was their idea. Give it up for them. And by the way, Gabby, the state has heard so many times about sand in the butt crack that they have all pitched in to buy you a swimsuit for the trip. So, all right, so. We know that there's topless beaches down there in Mexico, but we're going to pitch in for a nice swimsuit for you, okay? So that we don't have to see the videos or the pictures when you get back from Cancun. That's right, a week from today we'll be in Cancun. Oh, yeah, it's coming up close. All right, it's time to talk about who's coming next month. And, I mean, you guys, you see the lineup that is coming in for the rest of the year. I mean, it's just star-studded. Platinum Millionaire Club members lined up back to back to back to back to back. I mean, absolutely incredible. And we have Mr. George Wilkinson to thank for lining up our next guest. We'll just go ahead and roll the clip.
Welcome to the Dorsey Home in sunny Florida.
Amy and I met in
a sports bar watching, I think, baseball, Braves game, something was on.
They all wanted to go up to the sports bar and watch the Braves play.
You know, I had gotten off work, my girlfriend's kind of dragged me there.
So they kind of convinced me to go, and I walked in and I saw Amy, and we immediately locked eyes, and I was like, whoa, who's that?
Saw each other across the room, and we, I guess, had some mutual friends.
You know, she was looking at me, I'm like, is she really looking at me? I'm looking over at my friends, saying, she, you know, and I thought, hey, that's kind of cool, and
really kind of clicked, and, you know, had a nice time, had a nice talk, and then found out we lived in apartments right next door to each other, and
at the time, I think she was dating, like, three or four of different mics, and I had a few girls that were calling, so every time I could pick her up for a date or something, you'd hear her listen to the answer machine.
You know, just kind of went from there and continued talking over the next few weeks and saw each other quite a bit, played tennis together. And
I said to her, I said, Amy, I said, I don't want to just be another Mike. You know, I want to be the Mike. You know, I want to be the person that's in your life and stuff. And she said, I do too. So
6 months later, we were engaged and had a year engagement and, you know, got married. And after that, you know, that's kind of when we both said, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing for the rest of our lives? What are our goals for families? And, of course, we had discussed them before, but it was time that, okay, we're adults now, we're married now, it's time to get on with it. And
then our struggle started.
First couple years that we were married were, you know, a struggle. We did like most young people do. We had a small apartment, and we unfortunately had to pay bills with our wedding money and, you know, took calculators to the grocery store and, you know, just little things like that. We had to pinch every penny. We worked a couple of jobs at a time. Michael started a small landscape business because he knew that it was going to take a little bit of time to get prepaid legal off the ground. And so he started that business, and he got up at 5 in the morning and, you know, came home at dark. And I did the same thing. I worked for a bank. I got up first thing in the morning, worked all day, worked a second job at night because I knew that he wasn't coming home. He was going over to his dad's to make prepaid legal phone calls, you know, to build the business. So we really saw each other very, you know, very few times the first year and a half that we were married.
She said something about the calculators. I remember going to the grocery store with a calculator. And when I had that moment, I went back home and I said, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm going for it. I don't care what anybody else says about me. I don't care what they think, what I'm doing. I'm going. I'm going to the top in this company, and nobody's going to stop me. And that's something you got to get inside yourself. When your why is big enough, nothing else matters. When your dream is big enough, the facts don't count. And you just have to find out what your reason is, what your desire, what your passion is, what is your why. And the biggest why was to be able to not worry about money, you know, to not worry about, you know, Amy having to go to work, and, you know, us having to put our children into daycare, whatever it might be. That was a huge thing for us.
You guys ready? One day, big splash? Huh? Huh?
Lane is our oldest. She was born 2 years after we got married, and she just turned 7. She is very outgoing, loves everything, loves to swim like a fish, and great personality, great, great personality, adjusts to everything so well. You know, you could send her off with anyone or, you know, with anything, and she would just adjust. Reese came along a little shy of 2 years later. Reese Elizabeth is our shy one. She's quiet. She very timid.
Very intelligent. Very quiet, but very intelligent. Very sensitive.
Reese is more like her dad. She likes to stop, smell the roses, take those little afternoon cat naps, and relax. And Riley Grace just turned 2. We had 3 birthdays we all just celebrated. Riley Grace has the strawberry hair that we're not quite sure still where it came from.
A little spitfire. I think that's where the red hair comes from. She's just a little spitfire, man. She goes Mach 2 with her hair on fire all the time. And, you know, she wants it right now. It's hers, and that's the way it's going
to
be.
Very much trying to keep up with her older sisters, of course. She's very aggressive. I think she's going to maybe kind of rule this roost before long.
And I'm scared. It's funny because, you know, I guess I'm married now with 3 daughters, and it just totally blows me away because, You know, we have more drama in this house than Hollywood. I mean, we do. I'm not really looking forward to summer when they're all here all the time. I mean, I love them. Don't get me wrong. We get to have a lot of fun and stuff. But there are moments when it's just, like I said, there's a lot of drama going on in the background. But one of the greatest things I love about being home with the girls, I get to be there with them every day, you know, which is just invaluable because we'll go swimming when they get home. You know, we'll jump in the pool. We'll go to the park. We'll go down to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream after dinner. Or whatever we want to do, and that's kind of neat to be a stay-at-home dad. And they know whenever I go into my office, I shut the doors, that Daddy's working, and they're real good about that. So it's been an adjustment, but it's been so. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, it's almost sad for us to think that there are so many families out there that, you know, the kids don't really see their fathers because they're, you know, getting up before the kids are up and they're leaving and they're sitting in traffic for 2 hours to get to work. And then they're getting home after their whole family's already had dinner and they're getting home at 7 or 8 at night when it's time for the kids to go to bed. So there's very little quality time there. And you know, I respect the fact that they're all working hard, but it just makes us realize how lucky we are that, you know, fortunate that we were blessed to have this opportunity and make the right choices that, wow, you know, we kind of have our cake and eat it too because, you know, we have a great opportunity. We have a great business, but yet we also have time and time with our family and our kids that we won't ever get back. And then we have family dinners together. You know, we sit down to dinner together and so few people can say that they do that. And for us, that's huge.
That's what the opportunity has for you. So the lifestyle, second to none. You know, but, you know, being daddy, you know, there's a difference between a father and a daddy, you know, and that's the key thing is I want to be daddy, you know, and they know me and I know them and they know they can always count on me. You know, my dad was always there for me, you know, growing up, and, he told me, I think pretty much every day that I was the best, you know, I was the best, you know, every day he'd always say, Michael, you're the best, you know, you're the greatest. And I always thought I was like the king of the world until I was like 9 and realized I wasn't, you know? You know, but that's the way that my dad instilled that confidence and just kept trying to work on me and helping me and those types of things. So I have to thank him for everything that I've been able to accomplish because I've learned so much from him as a mentor. And, you know, we miss him, but he's left a legacy. And Prepaid Legal allows you to do that. And he's touched so many people's lives and so many people's hearts. The outpouring of emails and cards and flowers and all the things that we received after he passed away a couple months ago was incredible to see how many people really cared about him and the impact that his life on this planet, you know, what it made, you know, how, you know, and that's the power of our business, the impact that he made on other people's lives and, you know, just very powerful. My definition of true success is living life on your own terms. Without having to ask a boss whether you can do this or can do that. You know, when my dad was sick 6 months ago, I was able to go see him and go see him frequently. And that was important to me. I didn't have to ask somebody permission to go see my hero, to go see my father. I didn't have to ask them permission to do that. And so that was important to me to know that I can live life on my own terms. I don't have to ask permission from anybody. I can go do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't have any challenges with that. There's no money challenges. There's the, you know, the only thing we have to do is coordinate who's going to make sure the kids are taken care of, you know?
And I think that's key for most people is just being able to do what you want to do. I mean, you know, everyone has different things that are important to them, and we're able to do what's important to us. And, you know, hopefully people see that there are options and you can do what you feel is right for you. And like we have. And we're very proud to say that that's what we believed in and that's what we're able to accomplish.
So mark your calendars, July 10th. And I believe we have them coming in a few days early to do some other events. But for sure, July 10th, get that on your calendar. And, I mean, when I was in the business, I remember Michael Sr. going to all the events and seeing Michael Sr. there with Michael Jr., father and son. And they were on the same associate agreement working the business together. And when Michael Sr. passed away, Michael Jr. inherited that business, and Michael Sr.'s grandchildren, those daughters, are growing up in an entirely different world with an entirely different father because somebody started a business that is now being passed down from generation to generation. And think about that. Your kids, your grandkids could inherit your business that you're building. So how big do you want to make it? I mean, we shouldn't be thinking small like, oh, well, geez, I'm only a junior associate. At one time, Michael Sr. was a junior associate that today has turned into, you know, platinum. I don't know how high he's gone. Platinum something off the charts, but, you know, over $250,000 a year in income coming in and as a stay-at-home dad. I want to take you back to that Facing the Giants picture that Mr. Hammondtree showed us. Because some people will think small today and they'll walk out of here and not even get their ticket. They'll think, I'll see if I can make it out next month. I'll see if July 10th is open. And that's a tragic mistake that way too many people make. Because now they're trying to fit prepaid legal around their other activities instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to fit my other activities around prepaid legal. Like, you know, K.O. said at a convention, go home and tell your kids, you know, I quit on prepaid legal because of what? You weren't worth it because of what? It was too hot? Was afraid to talk to people? I didn't have $20 to go to the next Super Saturday or something like that? So I'm going to encourage you, A, for sure, make sure you are locked in and you have your ticket to next month's event. And then I want to talk to the people that really want to explode their business and take it to another level. Because the people that just want to be here next week, that's like the guy doing the death crawl that's saying, well, just show me where the 20-yard line is. I can make it to there. I'll do the 20-yard line. I'll do the minimum. That's what the team does, the minimum. Take me to the 20-yard line. But then 5 times the 20-yard line is the goal line. And for everyone who wants to go the goal line, you can get 5 tickets today for the price of 4 tickets. So you're going to get 1 ticket free. Mr. D, you got 5 tickets. Let me show you the difference between having 1 ticket and having 5 tickets. When you have 5 tickets in your wallet, and you open up your wallet to get money out to pay things, every time you see 5 tickets sitting there. Every day when you purchase something at the grocery store or the vending machine, you see 5 tickets in your purse or in your wallet. And what does that remind you every day? I've got to get rid of these. I'm not going to throw away money. I have got to get other people to the event. Some people at last month's event bought a ticket, came back, congratulations. And the first time you even thought about this was when you showed up here this morning. You pulled out your ticket that you bought last month. Because you bought a ticket and you showed up and pulled out a ticket. But you wouldn't buy 5 tickets and sit there and look at them for 30 days and go, well, I can sit in 5 seats if I want to. I can lay down for the event. I got a whole row practically for myself. You know what? A sense of urgency would start to kick in. You go, you know, I got to recruit some people. Some of you have inactive people on your team that missed an incredible opportunity. Mr. Hammondtree didn't go to a Super Saturday for what, 5 months in the business and finally went to Mr. Self? Do you think going to Mr. Self was a little bit of a catalyst that exploded his business? What if he missed it? It's only one event. How much did that impact Mr. Hammondtree? Mr. Dorsey's going to be on stage next month. What if you have 4 other people on your team that aren't here today that you can impact their life and now get them going? But they only know what they know. They don't know what they don't know. They have no idea what they're missing when they miss an event. They have no clue. And I've heard it from people, Dave, you're just trying to sell tickets to make money on me. Let me tell you, fly someone out of a small airport here, put them up for a hotel in 3 days, pay for their four-wheeling, their gas, their food, and everything else like that. These barely cover travel expenses. Mr. Wilkinson knows, he ran this thing for years. You barely break even running these events. Your $20 ain't going to make me rich, ain't going to make my house payment. Let me tell you what's going to make you rich, you having people in the seats. Your $20 ain't going to make you rich. You having 4 other people here with you, that will make you rich. If I'm your coach and I'm on the turf with you, pounding the ground, telling me, give me some more, give me more, I'm not going to accept stopping at the 20. I'm not going to accept saying, it's okay if you come back alone next month. Not as your coach, not as the RVP. I want you back here with four other people. That's for the people that are ready to be coached. And say, you know what? I'm tired of flying solo in the state of Utah. I'm ready to take my business to the next level. We'll see you back here July 10th. Woo!